You're a fuckboy, Harry.
I'm a what?
A fuckboy. And a thumping good one at that, I'd wager. Once we train you up a little.
No, you've made a mistake. I can't be a fuckboy. I mean, I'm just Harry. Just Harry.
Oh my gosh.
I'm obsessed.
I'm Hanneke Footman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vesthuizen.
And we are
the Fuckboy Podcast.
Witches, wizards, muggles, and squibs. This week, we're swishing and flicking into the depths of teen fuckboyery, tyrannical fuckboyery, and all things in between in the magical world of Harry Potter.
We'll ask the questions you've been asking all along, like, how the hell did Ron get Hermione?
We'll be answering each other's as well, namely, why is Tom Riddle such a salt? Spoiler.
Such a salt.
It's because he's the bad guy.
Later, we'll test each other's magic skills with some games and revelry. But for now, the real question is, how the hell are we doing, girls?
We're good. I'm good. What's new in the pasta?
Oh, my God. So, you know, Kath and I went for dinner last night
yes,
at that
Italian
restaurant.
Obviously be deeply offended if I wasn't otherwise engaged.
Hannah, just for the listeners' knowledge, was fully abreast of our plans and fully invited. She couldn't make it.
No, I was hanging out with our lovely friend of the family, Elliot Salt.
Oh, yeah, and what a salt she is.
And what a salt she is. Her and Tom Riddle, man.
So last night, for the first time in months, since before Christmas.
Almost like a year for me. I feel like I haven't done anything like that in so long because of the pandemic.
And being shielded. We went out for dinner. We sat outside.
It was just us two. And then all of a sudden, this woman starts talking to us, and we're a bit like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, no, I cannot deal,
like, interacting with people I know, let alone strangers.
Yeah. Mm.
But it quickly became obvious that she was a fucking legend. Her name was Gaia.
Her name was Gaia.
And, oh, of course it was.
As in the goddess of Earth.
Yeah.
Mother.
And she was with her boyfriend, who had just got a job there that day.
At the restaurant.
And it was actually him at the restaurant. And it was actually him that kind of started engaging us.
Right.
He was like,
yeah, you're right, guys. You're right, guys.
And
we were like, are you fucking joking?
Are you
we are fine. Leave us alone.
Please stop speaking to me now.
Like, so British.
Like, 10 centimetres away from their table, like, oh,
just
God.
Don't make eye contact, Kath. Don't make eye contact.
I was like, fuck, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
But then Gaia starts talking about the couple that were in our seats before we arrived.
Yeah.
Like, out of the blue.
And she was like, I started recording everything that he was saying because it was so outrageous.
Wait. Gaia was recording.
Gaia was writing down what this guy was saying.
Oh, my
right?
gosh. What was it?
Because we told her about this podcast and she was like, oh, my God, he sounds perfect for your podcast. I did ask her to send over
the
notes that she'd written.
Oh, did you get ghosted by Gaia?
I got ghosted by Gaia.
Gaia. By our literal best friends.
of 3 minutes.
But anyway, it was like, okay, so how would you... This is so difficult, not having the notes.
I actually remember it fairly vividly because sobriety.
Oh, yes! Thank God for you, Kat.
When being sober pays off.
I can remember the good stories. She was hilarious. Her boyfriend was like the most manic person in the entire world.
And like, kept just shoving food in her face, being like, try this, try this.
Like, flinging food at her.
Mid-story.
Was like... putting food into his mouth
dropping
at a rate never before seen, dropping his fork, picking his fork up off the floor and eating it like
I'm not
an
fancy.
Animal.
I'm an animal. Well, I'm glad he knows it and is up to it. That's
he's like, I'm not a fancy man.
He's so clearly.
And so she was telling us at like snail's pace. And she was demonstrating it. And so what she said was that this guy was on a date.
They'd clearly been together for a while.
Yes, they'd been dating for a while. We, at this time, didn't know how old they were.
Yeah.
And it's that, like, the way that she was describing it,
you know,
like mid-30s, you think.
Right.
And it was this guy and this like timid girl, and he was just talking at her. She kept asking him questions.
Yeah.
She'd just be like, how was your day? And he'd be like, well, you know, I've actually been losing quite a lot of weight recently. I mean, if you feel me, yeah. I was at 13.8, now I'm 13.2, but you know, that happens with weight.
And from my that, you'd weight. Be able to figure out my body fat yeah. mass or something like that.
From that, you'd be able to...
The driest conversation.
Like, awful.
And then at one point, she's like, would it be possible if I could use the loo?
The ladies.
And he was like, oh yes, it's fine. I'll just check the news. Oh, the crypto's down, but that's okay because my money's somewhere else. Feel free to go let loose in the loos.
Word for
word
to go let
forward.
Loose in the loo.
Yes. His the cryptos are down, but don't worry, his money is elsewhere.
Cryptos are down.
Do you think she was there like, thank God?
Look, they said it's a bit embarrassing to be over 30 and in your overdraft.
Oh, that is so rude.
Like 100% spending dad's money. I feel attacked. She said they were 100% under 25 years old.
Yeah. And he was like, oh yeah, no, the garden's really small. It's only like 2.5 acres.
Yes.
Oh my God.
He was lecturing her on the difference between a tent and a marquee.
Wow.
He was like, no, darling, it wasn't a tent. It was a marquee. And it wasn't my brother's wedding. It was his birthday. And it was 4.5 years ago. You should be able to tell the difference.
Oh my word. Wow.
Bizarre.
That is so funny.
And then the evening escalated even further when a man in a beanie, blonde-haired, carrying a paper book.
Paperback.
It wasn't even paperback. It was like printed off of the computer.
It was so weird.
It was like, you know, when you get like a script at drama school.
My allergies are already flaring up. I'm like, this talk of these fucking fuckboys already.
It's like a very heavily fingered, sort of printed off paperback.
Yes.
Right.
And Mikhail, the guy, the really gregarious guy, was like, what are you reading? And he was like, James Baldwin.
James
Baldwin. And we looked over at him and he was reading James Baldwin by himself drinking a Negroni. And I was like, this is perfect.
About 9, 10 o'clock.
Did you manage to sneak a photo? Is that legal?
Well, no. I mean, we started talking to him. His name was Leonard.
Leonard.
L-E-N-N-A-R-T. He was
Vienna.
From Austria.
Viennese.
Yeah.
Viennan?
And he was...
Venetian?
No, that's Venice.
No.
Viennese.
I don't know. He's Austrian.
I don't know. He was Austrian and from Vienna. And he was the softest of soft boys. I'm just going to read you something that he said, okay?
Okay.
Oh, I
wrote it down. Because so the couple, Gaia and Mikhail, left, right? And then it was just me, Kath and Leonard. And we were like, okay, we've got to read it in because it's just us and this guy now.
Yeah,
we've got to stop. You know, like taking the piss out of him.
We've got to stop just getting content for our podcast.
Exactly. He was such a lovely
literally
man.
Literally everything that he said, but we were just like, of course, out loud. And then he was sitting right there, 100%. Of course, Leonard.
Of course, that's what you'd say.
So he was talking about how one day he really wants to live in New York. And we were like, oh, you'd so suit New York. Reading James Baldwin down Fifth Avenue. Yeah. I mean, it's in Brooklyn. Yeah. It's perfect.
You'd be Dan from Gossip Girl in no time.
No time.
And he was like, yeah, I just don't want to sell my soul. And we're like, oh right, yeah, you don't want to sell your soul to capitalism. He was like, yes, exactly, that's exactly right. And he was like, I believe in some sense you can live in dreams. And we were like, what do you mean?
Oh, Leonard, like, I'm going to need you to expand on that thought. Yeah. Really need you to.
Okay.
Like, you can just imagine you're living on the 50th floor of a New York apartment and you're there. Like, I don't actually want that. I want the feeling.
Oh my gosh, Leonard!
I know, it was extraordinary.
If you were a soft girl, you'd be wet.
All over it.
You would.
I can see like a 21-year-old Kath being like, oh, what an interesting man.
What a mysterious dude. I must get into his pants.
And then we were like, okay, Kath and I need to leave now because this is getting really intense and his soft boy-ness is just too much to handle.
Yeah, you're like starting to get absorbed.
Yeah, I'm starting to get absorbed. I'm also on the brink of like bursting out laughing in his face.
Oh yes. No!
He was so lovely. It was the sincerity and the earnestness of what he was saying. And in a sense, like what he was saying is perfectly true. You can totally imagine that. It was said with such sincerity.
The way, and with a Negroni, and with
the James Baldwin in his left hand.
Was he smoking a roll-up?
He wasn't actually.
Oh, how disappointing.
I know.
Oh, that's a shame.
So we stood up to leave.
And he stood up with us.
Oh. Like, yeah. And it was this awkward thing.
I'm going to need you to do the accent.
Okay.
You don't no have pressure.
To. And so Kath was like, well, you said something about his drink, right? Like, how was your Negroni or something?
Yes.
And he was like, I had one Negroni earlier and the one here, but who knows? It might not be my last. And he says this, looking at us really expectantly.
So expectant. No. He was like
hovering.
Like, oh, no. At 45 degrees angle towards us. Like, yeah. Invite me back with you.
And he was like, which way are you going?
Oh, no. And this is when you're like...
I was like, if you think this night is going to end with a threesome...
You couldn't be more far from correct.
Off your rocker.
But I also, you know, the audacity I admire to a degree.
Yeah, it's my last.
But two Negroni confidence.
Leonard, just live in the dream.
Just live in the dream.
You want
just
the feeling.
Do you know what? You meet the reality? Some bonkers people. Can I tell you about probably the most bonkers couple I ever met? I was sat on a plane. I think I was coming back from Dublin when we were filming. Yes, yes, I was. Because I remember going back and telling the story that I was sat on a plane next to a really, really freakishly beautiful woman and a guy who was like this, he was like very Woody Allen energy. Like
neurotic.
Neurotic, like very like small and weedy and like, I'm really intelligent. And he was obviously from New York. I can't remember what happened. I think we started talking for some reason. And then I think he just like leaned forward and was like, hey, you, do you know any sex clubs that we can go to? Oh, and I was like, woo, what a conversation starter. And he was like, yeah, 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 we're going to go to some sex clubs and all of this. And then... they started like kind of bickering because he was like, she wants to go to one. And she was like, oh, do I? Like, blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, well, it depends on how much you're going to pay me for that. And they started negotiating how much she was getting paid. And she was obviously a sugar baby. And I think he was being really open about it. Perhaps I was giving off sugar baby energy, which, you know, I stan it. But no, at that time, that was not the vibe for me. But they like properly got into the conversation about how much money she was getting. And it was a decent sum.
How much was she getting?
Yeah, right next to me on the plane. I was in the window seat and she was in the middle and he was on the end.
Oh, dear God.
I mean, I kind of really respect that because at least they're being transparent about it and there's no shame.
Yeah,
right?
Well, yeah. And also like... sex workers work. Like, yeah, she's working, totally. So why shouldn't she? And I was like, I'm really thrilled to be partaking in this conversation.
Incredible.
A lesson in knowing your worth.
Truly. And she, and let me tell you,
what was her worth for that?
I can't remember. It was like in the thousands, but she was also talking about her son. She was talking about how, like, he had met her son, and he was like, oh, well, I'll buy this for him, and da, da, da. And I was just like, this is fascinating.
I wonder what that Woody Allen guy does for a living.
That's so true.
I remember him being like, I think he even told me, like, it was, he was, like, so brash about how much money he had.
Oh, grim.
It was grim, but also it was so entertaining. Like, I was really there for it. At the end, he was like, you're my favourite person I ever met on a flight. And I was like, oh, thank you, maybe. Do you want to pay me for it?
I just had a flashback from last night, actually, where Mikael, the guy,
he
found, he was like, what do you do? And we, like, awkwardly said that we were actors. And then he was like, oh, how did you get this job? Did you sleep with the director?
I just remembered that.
Oh, my God.
We got another hilarious thing that the soft boy said.
Yes.
We were like,
you're like, what do you do?
We were like going round. Everyone had kind of said what they did. And we said we were actors. And Mikhail said that he worked as a waiter, but he was actually a chef. Oh. And then his partner said, you know, she worked for this amazing medical job. But she was also a musician.
Oh,
soft
cool.
boy. I'm a critic. Like, I'm a cultural critic.
And then you're like, where do you do that? And he was like, I do it for free.
So I just judge people for free. And I call myself a cultural critic.
It's a hobby. It's a hobby. That's the definition of a hobby.
Also, like, he then was like, oh, well, I'm actually a graphic designer. And it's like, dude, that's also very soft boy.
That's
like,
also very cool.
You own that. Own that graphic design.
They're on brand for you.
They're on brand.
Oh,
it's so funny.
He'll sit in it a few more Negronis and I can't even imagine the content that you could have gotten
there. I had
there.
One over there and one over here.
Who knows? It might not be my last. The twinkle in his eyes.
He's cheeky.
That's a good line.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite good, isn't it?
From another mouth, it would have worked.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that you had an experience last night?
Oh, yeah. No, this is actually just a very non-fuckboy related, although maybe a bit fuckboy. I don't know. So Elliot and I, we went for a drink
obviously, because Fate Winx Club Saga, that we are both in, cannot say that without doing some performative casualness.
You're like the opposite of a soft boy.
Oh, thank you. I'm a hard girl. Anyway, so we were like talking about how had we been recognised, and like I haven't really had much being recognised, I think maybe because of my hair, but also I haven't really been going outside because it's a pandemica. Anyway, last night, like, we had a few moments, I think, because we were together, like, some people were walking past our table and then, like, walking past our table again. And I was like, oh, people are
my
nerd,
God, I love that.
And then this one guy at the end of the night, obviously, like several pints deep and had the courage, he went, you're Jessica Brown Finley, aren't you? And I was like, oh, no, I'm not. And then Elliot, because Elliot was facing away from him, and Elliot turned around and he went, oh, no, but you're an actress, aren't you? And he went, you're both actresses. You're actually very funny. Anyway, I haven't watched the show, so I know.
What? Wait, what? So he had watched the show?
I don't know.
You do really remind me of Jessica Brown Finley.
Yeah, you are.
I mean,
great.
It's the voice, it's the face.
Maybe on the podcast. Maybe this is Jessica Brown Finley. Maybe we could just...
You're just like Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus. Yes. You're Hannah Montana and Jessica Brown Finley's Miley Cyrus.
Oh, fantastic. Great. Get the best
if
of both.
If you dyed your hair brunette, you could 100%...
Maybe one day we'll play sisters.
Be doppelgangers.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe you'll play her in her
biopic. Maybe. I mean, my God. Can you even imagine? Because we are about to tackle, like, the biggest sort of franchise possibly ever.
Yes.
Imagine how much you would get recognised. Like, it would be...
Oh, sickening.
And if you... I wouldn't say...
Guys, next week I'm working with Draco.
Oh my God, yes, you are.
I totally forgot.
That is so exciting.
She'd be like, look, can Hannah go give you a little interview?
I mean, maybe I'll hound him in the green room. I'll corner him in the green
room. Just get him to record one Potter. Potter.
Oh my God, really want... Who is it? He goes, Harry Potter.
What, in the... Harry Potter. Ooh. Ron Weasley. I feel like that was for our generation, like everyone's first.
That was the first.
YouTube
yeah,
video.
That was my first YouTube video.
Yeah.
And what a YouTube video!
I feel like
what
I came to that very late.
Really?
Yeah, I watched it like 7 years on, and I was like, this is hilarious. Yeah, I'm obsessed. We're all obsessed. Like, we grew up, it was our...
Fucking Harry Potter.
Yeah, it was our book. It was our childhood.
I remember my sister used to read the books to me. And I always thought Snape was a snake. Because I was so young, I didn't realise. But then I got older and I got into them. And yeah. What was your in with Harry Potter? Was it the books or the films first?
Books. Reading the books. There's a picture of me. And I am a tiny little
child.
Tiny thing. And I've got the fifth one open.
What?
About a centimetre away from my face.
Oh my gosh.
I'll post a picture on Instagram, actually. Yeah. It is quite cute.
Yes.
And it's honestly, it's like I must have been blind then as well. But it's like right up next to my face, and I'm on the beach and I've got one of those sun shield caps on and like a sun shield top. And I'm just reading the fifth Harry Potter like a maniac.
How old were you?
I look about 8.
Wow, I was so not young. Reading them when I was 8.
I was basically reading them whenever they came when out, they came basically. Out. So I don't know when the fifth one came out, but that would be the age that I was, because we would be in Portugal, my dad would come out on the weekend and he would have queued.
Queued up. That's what? So sweet.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's unbearable.
I know.
That's
he would have queued
so
up.
So cute.
I know, how sweet is it?
Oh,
so cute.
The answer to daddy issues right there.
Yeah, right.
No, it's so sweet.
More of that, please.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
We love you, Paul.
I know. But I got into them before my brothers. I was just really obsessed. I love fantasy.
And it really does take you to another world.
It does.
Like, when I went to Harry Potter World in LA.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so fucking resentful.
Guys,
we will all go one day. I just remember being like, it was like I reverted to a child. I was so thrilled and in awe of everything. There were loads of photos of me, and I don't think I put any of them on the internet because I'm smiling so hard. I look like I'm about to like burst a blood vessel. Like, I remember my teeth, like, it's like I had ground them down from just like intensely smiling right next to a sugar and so much excitement. Brilliant.
Oh, I love that.
It's so great.
I love it.
You know that guy who was meant to take me, and then he was like a friend of mine. We were hanging out in LA and he was like, I'm going to take you. And then he turned around and goes, actually, I'm not going to take you anymore. I'm going to take this girl that I've been seeing instead. And she'd already fucking been.
That's outrageous. So rude.
I cried.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking.
You're so close yet so far.
I was so excited. Oh,
it was like someone, we should have said on him.
Yeah, we can.
No, he's been redeemed because we met up. Like a year later, and he like properly apologized and was like, "That I was really in the wrong."
What a written apology!
I don't think he realized how much I loved Harry Potter.
I'm gutted.
Yeah, devastating.
I am nervous about those things because Harry Potter is such a world in my mind.
Well, this is a thing. Don't go to the Harry Potter studios because I went there and
it was slightly disappointing.
And it just removes the magic from it because it shows you really how they do it.
Yeah.
And so you don't feel like you're in that world. Mm. You're like in the movie making of it, which I don't want to know.
Yeah. Most of the time it's really fun to see the like behind the scenes and how different people are, blah, blah, blah. But Harry Potter is something where I'm like, I want it untouched.
Yeah. Sacred.
These people are real. These are real fuckboys.
Yeah.
In the real magical world.
It's my safe place.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people's safe places.
Yeah, that's so true.
And at the beginning of the pandemic, I know so many people who just listen to the audiobooks, the films.
Yeah.
Just because it's like soothing, like...
Yeah, and it was a real shame. I think we should flag, because obviously we all love Harry Potter so much. We obviously strongly disagree with J.K. Rowling's views on trans women.
Absolutely.
We believe trans women are women.
Absolutely.
And it's really hard because that whole argument of separating art from the artist, we could talk about that for a whole podcast. But I think for us, what we want to do is kind of say that we don't agree and try and hold it as its own separate entity because it is a safe space and it is so magical. And it's also a really inclusive world.
It is. It's such
which
a
is
shame.
Such
that she
such
came
shame.
Out with what she did.
Yeah.
I read this quote yesterday that said, as irresponsible as J.K. Rowling is, she saved my life.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really good dichotomy of that because, yes, she's problematic. No one's denying that.
You know, we just wanted to make that very clear before we delved into all of the fuckboyery.
Take it away.
Take it away. So, look, if you haven't heard of Harry Potter by after all of that.
Come on, lads, what are you doing?
Look, we just
stop.
Go.
Just go and read
them. Go and read them. Like,
get to know.
Just read the books.
Yeah.
If you've only seen the films.
Shame on you.
Just read.
No. I'm deadly serious.
Stand by that.
I take no prisoners when it comes to Harry Potter.
If you're here, we're guessing you're one of the 5 million people who has read the fucking books.
Yeah.
And you know what we're talking about.
5 million? More than that.
500 million. 500 million.
I was about to
say. 5 million.
Yeah,
that's
not a lot.
Second to the Bible.
Second to the Bible, yeah.
Yes.
Apparently, our lovely producers, that one of our up and ups, didn't know who Ron Weasley was. And we were all...
Flabbergasted.
Astounded.
We will be forcing a listen to this episode.
Yeah, and he will be listening to this. So
you will know.
You will
know.
So we'll give about as much context as he's going to need, but surely you guys have come on.
And if not, okay, here we go. So
get out of under the rock.
Get out. It's a series of 7 fantasy novels. They follow the lives of Harry Potter and his 2 best friends, Hermione Granger. And Ron Weasley, and they're at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story of sacrifice. It's a story of love, of challenge, and of course, fuckboyery.
Naturally.
Yes, the one thing that no one talks about.
But here we are.
What
no one has been asking for in the realm of Harry Potter, but we're going to bring it to you.
We are bringing
it. It's niche, but we're making it work.
Yeah, this is just an excuse to talk about Harry Potter.
Yeah, truly.
We simply
have to nerd out. Thank you for staying on board.
So, I mean, honestly, who else are we going to start with than Harry Potter himself?
Than the chosen one himself.
The chosen one.
Honestly, so we begin in teenagedom, as fuckboyery often does.
Yeah.
And it's the throes of love and passion with Harry.
Yes, it is.
I had such a crush on Harry.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I wrote on my radiator,
I
heart
this.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Did you? And then you ended up working with him.
And then I worked with him.
What a dream come true.
Where did you work with him?
On Guns Akimbo. This is a film I shot in Germany a few years ago. And
as wonderful as he seems.
So wonderful. Yeah. Like the loveliest man. Mm. And I took my Polaroid camera because I really wanted a picture with him. But I just chickened out.
Oh,
didn't
no.
do it. Yeah. He was so lovely though.
I bet he would have as well.
Yeah, he absolutely would have. But It's just one of those things where you're like, you are so famous and you must have so many people asking you for your photograph.
Yeah.
And I just felt bad. Yeah. Even though, like, we'd worked together, you know, I just, it just didn't feel right. But he was so great.
You can just get a Polaroid with Malfoy.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I have a photo of me and Malfoy.
Oh, it's perfect. On the Instagram.
Put it on that Instagram, baby.
Potter.
So, we're going to start with Harry.
H dot.
HP.
HP sauce.
HP sauce. Our favourite type of sauce.
And oh, how saucy he can be.
And his first sort of romantic encounter, which is, of course, Dobby Chang.
Dobby.
He's such a fuckboy to Dobby. Dobby's clearly in love with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Full on in love with
Harry. Yeah.
Dobby's in love with Harry, and Harry use and abuse.
I mean, to be fair, Dobby did fuck over Harry in the Chamber of Secrets.
Dobby's
royally.
Such a pick me as well.
Such a pick me.
Oh my god. Dobby's logic is so questionable. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's confused. All over the place.
It really is all over the place.
Although he is deeply traumatised by the Malfoys, so just give him some sack.
Yeah. I mean, we all are.
So, Cho Chang.
Setting the scene, we're in Harry Potter and the Order of the
also,
Phoenix.
Also, J.K. Rowling. Don't fucking call her Cho Chang. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, that is another
come
one.
Come on.
Do better.
Do lady. Better. Oh. I'm really sorry to all the people who are East Asian and growing up and reading Harry Potter and finally found an East Asian character and she was called Cho Chang.
Ridiculous. Oh, my a friend of mine actually went to uni, to drama school with her. And on the first day, he'd never seen Harry Potter, he doesn't know the books, he's never read it. And on the first day, everyone was like, that's Cho Chang. And he was like, why, what? Like,
why
are you being unbelievably racist right now? And they're like, no, it's Cho Chang. And he was like, her name is Katie. Like, do not call her Cho Chang, that's so fucking racist.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, that's it in a
that
nutshell,
sums
isn't
it? Up,
isn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. But luckily, she is brilliant.
She's
plays
so
her phenomenally.
Brilliant in the part. She beautiful. Really, really does. She's really cut to pieces in the films. She but, is. You know, we won't, everyone is. So Harry, it's in the Order of the Phoenix, in the fourth book, just set the scene for
you.
For you.
For our one single producer who lives under a rock. No. We love you. We
So basically, in the fourth book, less than a year ago, Harry has had this horrendous trauma. He's watched his friend die, Cedric Diggory. He's witnessed his arch nemesis. Who can say that? Voldemort. Who has an arch nemesis?
I know.
So he witnesses Voldemort returning to power. His nemesis killed his parents. And he endures torture at Voldemort's hand.
Yeah.
He literally escapes within an inch of his life. And then this year, since that, he tells everyone Voldemort's back. Nobody believes him. He's subject...
Not even Seamus.
Not even Seamus. We see you.
We see you.
We fucking see you. But he's subject to rumours, gossip, his friends turning against him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calling him a liar, calling him awful things, writing in the paper about him. And does he seek therapy? Find emotional support in his friends and his loved ones?
No, he ostracises himself.
He does not. He dates.
He dates, of course he does, that's the way to handle it.
And he dates Cedric's ex-girlfriend.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Literally jumping in his grave.
Do you know what? Bonded by a shared trauma.
Bonded by a shared trauma, but on her part, not on his part. And this is, I think, where the biggest fuckboyery that Harry kind of gives us actually comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, surely there are other girls, Harry.
Anyone else,
anyway,
really.
I do want to actually say there's loads of spoilers here.
Oh, yeah, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Spoilers galore.
You can almost rely upon every single episode of any single thing we're talking about to feature spoilers.
So
and
many
we probably
spoilers.
Won't tell you when they're coming.
No,
yes, we will
we'll
not.
Spoil it first.
Yeah.
Just read the books. So, okay, so some of the things that he does with Cho. He talks about her crying.
All the time.
The fucking time.
Yeah, he's not very empathetic.
He talks about, her boyfriend died less than a fucking year ago.
Yeah.
If anyone on the planet understands how she feels, bruv, it's you.
It should be you.
It's you.
It should be
like, you're allowed to act out. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, Harry's going through his ting. Whereas Cho has a little weep every now and again. And you're like, oh, God. This direct quote, half an hour ago, they had been getting on fine. Women. he muttered angrily, sloshing down the rainwashed street with his hands in his pockets. What does she want to talk about Cedric for anyway? Why does she always want to drag up a subject that makes her act like a human hose pipe?
Like a human hose pipe!
Harry!
Is this all that dreadful date?
Dreadful date. Where
oh, God.
She is literally reaching out through the void, trying to have some connection to the person who witnessed her boyfriend dying. Oh. Reaching out, I thought you would be the only person who would understand this. You of all people should understand.
She organised it as well.
She organised the date.
Madam
Puddyfoot's tea house. Yes. She takes him to. Like, has this little date. You know, she does act a little bit out. But Harry literally tells her, come on. When he has nothing else to say because she's a woman and for some reason he, like, can't find words.
Right.
He says to her, oh, by the way, I'm meeting Hermione Granger later.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to come with me?
I know.
And Cho's like, I've planned this fucking date. I've been waiting for ages for this. You've barely fucking spoke to me since we had a little snog under the mistletoe at Christmas time.
Romantic.
Bruv.
I know.
And then obviously she's going to act out and she's going to get upset. And Harry calls her what? A human hose pipe.
A human hose
Harry,
pipe.
I'm not here for that. He is so mean to her as well. When she tells Umbridge about, well, her friend tells Umbridge about the DA. It's a secret defense against the dark arts organization. So basically what happens in the books and the films, it's slightly different. In the films, she's literally given veritaserum, which makes you tell the truth. In the books, her parents both work for the ministry. Yeah. She's under so much pressure to, like, behave and to do
and
really
Umbridge
well.
And Umbridge threatens to sack them. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one.
Exactly.
That's so bad.
What else are you going to do? She's a 15-year-old girl.
I was going to say, most importantly, these are children.
Yeah, these are children. Hermione acts in the most rogue way that Hermione has ever acted. She curses her so that she has sneak written across her face in spots.
Oh, yes.
Cho has the audacity to be like, oh, that was a bit much, wasn't it? Not telling us a little bit extra of her. Mm. Harry's like, no, I think it was a really fucking good idea.
Oh, Harry!
Naughty boy.
Harry!
It's because Harry is so fucking loyal.
Like, Harry sees everything in black and white.
Yeah.
And we are so forgiving of heroes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're allowed to knock people down in their path because they don't adhere to their idea of morality.
One.
They're the chosen
one.
That's
so true.
And it's like this hero's journey arc that we see.
Mm.
Women, people who kind of don't have that black and white morality thing, are treated like shit and it just kind of doesn't matter in these stories. And that's something that really interests me.
It's really interesting as well how we were all saying we read this when we were very young.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot about, like, that women and human hosts, like, that will subconsciously go into you and then when
don't cry.
And, you know, also men are just like that. Men get annoyed at women. Women are just annoying.
Women are so annoying. Why are they so emotional?
You need to cry. Very important.
It's healthy to cry, Harry. Maybe you should cry once in a while.
To a therapist that you've paid for.
Yes, that you've paid for. Exactly that.
You have a lot in Gringotts. We know you can afford it.
Yeah. By the way, stays at the Weasleys a lot. Does he ever give them any money?
Does he give them any rent? No. Are you chucking them free money every now and then?
He does give the Weasley brothers bajillion galleons.
Yes,
a bajillion. That is the amount.
A bajillion galleons.
Officially.
Officially.
It's so good when Hermione goes, you have the emotional capacity of a teaspoon to Ron when she's explaining why Cho Chang was crying under the mistletoe.
Phenomenal.
Aww.
She sums up so
just
beautifully.
Just because you have the emotional range of a teaspoon.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Such a good line.
That's a good
so
one.
So good.
How can someone feel that many things at once?
Yeah.
Is what he says.
Oh.
And that's her reply.
Yeah. Imagine.
And she's so much more mature than them.
She is.
Truly. So shocker.
They would not be alive without Hermione.
Like, why is it not called Hermione Granger Saves Harry and Ron?
I know,
yes,
right?
Truly. They would have been dead from book one. They would have been choked to death in that.
Yeah.
In the
Devil's Snare.
Devil's Snare. Yeah.
Would have died.
Totally.
Would have died.
No sequels. Nuh-uh. Not a single one.
Not a single sequel.
So what else does Harry do? Him and Cho never really break up. They fall apart.
Oh, in quotation marks, fall apart.
Fall apart.
God, I mean, poor Cho Chang. What a rough go.
What she's been through. I know.
Bloody hell.
Truly horrific. There's a point in the sixth book where he asks Luna Lovegood to a Christmas party with him.
Slughorn's
Christmas
party. Which is a really lovely thing to do.
Yeah.
But then afterwards he goes, oh, I just mean as friends. Harry, you should have said that before you asked her.
You should.
You're
have.
Lucky that she doesn't fancy you.
Yeah, she does not she fancy you, Harry.
No, she's got other things on her mind. Below.
She don't give a fuck.
And she's way too for Harry. Yeah.
I love. Isn't the actress? I'm so sorry, I don't know her name.
Ivana.
I don't know. Lynch? I don't. Let's have a look.
She's
perfect.
She's
absolutely perfect. I was watching Goblet the other night. Yeah. She is extraordinary, isn't she? Like,
she's
the best.
So she's natural. So good. Yeah. She has a natural affinity with that character in a way that actually none of the other actors kind of do.
I completely agree.
She just is her.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Totally.
She's incredible.
I wonder if you are more or less susceptible to fuckboyery if you are in the headspace of Luna Lovegood.
Luna's definitely having nothing to do with fuckboys.
Maybe she's just like above it all. Like, people will be like trying to tear her down to the gutter, and she's like, no. I live on a different planet, my love.
She's been through so much.
Yeah.
She gives me asexual vibes, actually.
I think Jo Rowling has written her. She gets married.
Oh, does she?
Yes, she ends up with a Scamander.
A Scamander?
Oh, yes. That makes so much sense.
It? Does yes. It, all the animals. Mm. So they go on all these trips.
Oh, that's perfect for Luna. Oh, I'm happy for her.
Yeah. Thrilled for you, Luna.
So, another thing that he does, he breaks up with Ginny and then he fucking zombies her, comes back, snogs her on his birthday.
Oh, it's always birthday parties where you get fucked over, isn't it, when you're a teenager?
Yeah, he snogs her after he's broken up with her. Everyone's like, she was so gutted when you broke up with her over the summer. And Harry's like, I was really sad too.
In what book do they get together?
They get together in book 6, then in book 7 at the beginning before he goes away, Ginny on his birthday says, I wanted to give you a gift to remember me by. What a line.
What a line.
And then they have a snog.
So hot.
They kiss. She kissed him like she'd never kissed him before.
Oh.
Go fucked.
Go on, Ginny.
100% they
fucked. Do you think
they fucked?
Oh, Jacob Rowling left that out for me.
The spark.
Yes.
Would have been flying.
100% they fucked. So, yeah, so he zombies her, and then he, instead of being like, I'm really sorry for that, I'm sorry if I led you on, saying anything, he just ignores her for the rest of the evening.
Charming.
Then later, after he's broken up with Ginny, after they've had the kiss, they're at Bill and Fleur's wedding, Crumb comes up to him. Don't worry about who Crumb is. If you know, you know. Crumb comes up to him and says, oh, she's pretty. And Harry goes, oh, yeah, she's got a boyfriend. Big guy.
Oh,
Harry, let Ginny. Don't get to have both.
You can't have cake and eat it too.
You cannot have your cake and eat it.
Let Ginny spread her beautiful wings.
You cannot have your chocolate frogs and eat them too. That is not how it works.
I never understood
that saying. I'm just going to put that out
there. Have your cake and eat it too.
Why would you not eat the cake if you have it?
Because you just have it to look at
and it's beautiful.
But cakes are meant for eating.
Yeah, but because it's like when a cake is beautiful in this.
Oh, as in you cannot have it and also eat it, because if you eat it then gone. You can't have it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it.
Exactly.
It's still a very confusing saying.
In my head, it's a wedding cake.
Sure.
In my head, it's birthday cake.
In my head, it is the cake that was also left out in the rain in that very famous song.
Don't know the song.
What?
Someone left the cake out in the rain. What? Oh my God, guys, you do not watch enough drag, for God's sake.
We actually don't watch drag.
Oh, please, ladies. Oh, that was also something exciting that happened to you today.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, just to go wildly on a tangent, but this is very exciting.
Someone like us.
I know, that's so bizarre.
Like us, we haven't done yet.
So I have a Pret subscription, which obviously, you know.
I just choked on the water.
I am not very good.
Who the fuck has a Pret subscription?
And Amanda Vestazen.
Me. I'm not good with money, and therefore I have a Pret subscription. And loads of people have ripped me and been like, how can you justify that? And I have now got the answer for you, because I went to get a lovely little oat flat white. They know me. They know what I'm there for. And as I'm walking out the door, someone opens it and they go.
I'm so excited.
And they open the door for me. And there's another family coming in behind, and I'm trying to go out, and I'm being all like, ooh.
And what are you being like?
Ooh.
You're wont to do that, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's a classic Anna.
And then I look at who's holding open the door. It's only bloody Bimini Bomboolash.
Bimini Bomboolash.
Bimini Bomboolash. Absolute icon, absolute icon.
Who is in RuPaul's Drag Queen, Drag Race?
Drag Queen.
RuPaul's Drag Queen. Yes, and honestly, I would say my personal favourite queen of all time. So that was a very exciting thing that happened to me today.
So exciting.
That is very exciting.
And that's why you get a print subscription. Back to HP.
So this is the final thing that he does. Well...
What is it?
Sorry, it's actually not that big a deal. Parvati Patil, Yule Ball.
Oh yeah, fucked up. The way him and Ron treat Parvati and Padma Patil.
Ron doesn't even invite her.
It's messed
Harry
up.
Harry asks for him.
They completely ignore them.
Yeah, so rude.
You cannot take someone to a ball and then sideline them.
No.
No.
And be a grumpy git.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is, I actually think, you know, they behave, you know, actually very well. If it had been me, I would have fallen in love with them. Because they ignored me. I'd be like, well, I'm in love with
people. I was actually fucking impressed with Parvati and Padma.
She gets...
They go and have a dance with the Beauxbatons boy.
Exactly.
As they should.
As they fucking should.
No, if it was me, I would have been like, I will change you.
Yes.
And I will give you love potions.
It's so annoying how in the films, the Beauxbatons are all girls.
Yeah.
And the, the Durmstrang are all boys.
Yeah.
Because
in the
books,
the girls it's mixed. Is like... With like birds fluttering and butterflies
and
coming
the men,
out of their anuses.
Like, stick up for something with a big stick.
They don't even do. They do like.
They're like not, parkour.
Not quite gymnastics. Yeah, they're basically doing gymnastics, but it's like
stop
not gymnastics.
Doing
parkour.
A forward roll.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
They do like break dancing, and it's like. Okay.
Manly stop. Man.
Manly men breaking it down on the. On the dining room floor. It literally is. Like, there are tables. People are eating their dinner. No, they're not. Are they eating dinner at that point? I think they are.
Yeah, there's a fucking feast going on.
I mean, they're
on.
Definitely digesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some digesting is going on with Fleur.
Sorry. Okay. Because she is a villa.
Oh, she's a villa.
She's a villa. Guys, I think we're half villa.
Yeah.
I love that for us.
I love that for us. I love the description of... This is such a tangent. I love the description of Fleur's family that her mum... Oh, this is also kind of annoying. That her mum is like this beautiful villa and then her dad is just like this really happy, not very good-looking guy.
No, I don't
just like
that.
Super charming. And then I thought about it as I was saying it. I thought, oh, I'm not sure actually I do like that.
Why in films are the ugliest men always with the hottest women?
Oh, don't. That really does grind my gears.
It's so annoying, isn't
it?
It's
not really... how it works.
I take it back. It's so annoying.
Can you give the full description of a vila?
So a vila is
like a magical creature.
A vila's rogue. Vilas are rogue.
Well, that's
so
a
they're
thing.
These magical creatures who are really beautiful.
Yeah.
And then when they get angry, they're introduced
they turn
as a creature
like clawed animals.
Yeah, clawed. Yes. It's like their beauty disappears.
Similar vibe to like a mermaid, right?
In yeah,
like,
or to
traditional
like,
sense.
Yeah, or
us when someone catcalls us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like usually so hot that we'll turn around and scratch your eyes out.
Yes, I think they're sort of based on sirens.
Yes,
so it's like
sirens,
you get close to the sirens and then they're not.
They lure you in with their beauty and then they fuck you up.
Exactly.
Oh, they are the fuck girls of the magical kingdom.
Yeah, but like they just probably have boundaries.
Oh yeah, very very strong ones.
They're just like, don't fuck with me or I'll eat you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I
like that. Very Blackman energy.
Yeah, similar to me. So my big question for you, Fari, is does he redeem himself? I have some grounds for him being redeemable. He says this about Cho Chang.
Oh, what a name.
That was me shaking my head and rolling my eyes at her name. but you couldn't hear that. Ron says, you're well out of it, mate, Ron said forcefully.
That's
I mean,
such
she's
a wrong
quite
line.
Good it looking in that, but you want someone a bit more cheerful. And Harry says, she's probably cheerful enough with someone else. Harry at least acknowledging that he's probably the problem.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
It's like that line in Winx. If everyone around you is a nightmare...
A nightmare, you're the problem.
You're the problem.
You're the nightmare.
Yeah.
Which actually comes out of Riven's mouth.
It I does. Know, which is very rude. And towards
Shocking.
Stella.
Throwback.
Which actually, to be fair, is valid. Yeah.
Yeah, fair. All right, Riven.
Also, how old is Harry when he starts dating Cho?
Harry is he's like 15 when he starts dating Cho.
In utero, basically.
Yeah. He's 15 when he starts dating Cho. He's like 14 when he starts... Well, he said 30.
He's a mental fetus.
Yeah.
He's literally a fetus.
Yeah. He's mentally, he's 8 years old. But, with the added trauma, I'd say he's a solid 10, maybe, in age, you know?
Trauma gives you age.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Okay, that's somewhat redeemable. Still what else would we have?
That's redeemable. What else? Sixth book. When large groups of girls are converging under the mistletoe every time Harry passes, instead of being a bit of a player and, you know, hanging out with all these girls who really fancy him, he just takes loads of secret pathways so that he doesn't have to kiss people under the mistletoe.
Oh, gosh. It's such a nightmare when it's Christmas and just everyone is hanging out under the mistletoe trying to snog me. Like, such a nightmare.
They actually are, like, blocking the corridors. There's so many of them.
Oh, gosh.
This is what I never understood, why people didn't, like, lust after Harry up until the point up where he's point announced he grows, that he's a chosen
one. Because he's too short. How fucking toxic masculinity is that?
So much body shaming going on.
Because he's too short. Is that the reason?
Yeah, well, there's one thing in her mind. He's like, you're so you've got all it, like, interesting now. It doesn't help that you've grown about a foot over the summer. And then Ron goes, I'm tall.
Oh, Ron, such a pick me. Oh, Ron.
So funny. So what else? He doesn't act like a fuckboy when girls are trying to give him love potions left, right and centre. He doesn't actually try and make Ginny jealous with other girls. He invites Luna to the party when he actually could have invited any number of girls to try and make Ginny jealous.
Yeah,
which I actually really rate him for. He's generally more fussed with Voldemort than girls.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's got a lot on his plate, doesn't he?
He's got a lot on his plate. Yeah. Bless him.
He does. He really does. Mm. Yeah, Harry, we're going to forgive you.
Oh, 100%.
I'm going to forgive Harry. And he does redeem himself later in life, because we do know what happens.
Also, he's a fucking Horcrux, man.
Yeah, like, he's got Voldemort inside of him. That's, Voldemort's a dodgy bloke.
That's going to take a toll on you.
I imagine that's the equivalent to when you get really bad periods.
Yeah.
Similar energy, and there's a lot that can be forgiven when you're PMSing.
Yes, mm-hmm. Harry's PMSing for a year.
Constantly.
Well, maybe just since birth.
No, like his entire life. Since Voldy killed his mum, he's been a fucking Horcrux. Like, give him a break, do you know what I mean?
I hope he's okay.
I feel for him.
I think he's good. I think he's thriving, actually.
Yeah, I think he's thriving. He's got a stressful job.
He does.
He has, like, a tough time with Albus.
Albus is a bit of a fuckboy towards Harry, it must be said. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Albus Dumbledore. We're talking about Albus Severus.
Albus Severus.
I know. We could have got
John.
Lovely John.
Our lovely John Case.
Yes.
Who plays Scorpius Malfoy. Yeah. Plays him in The Cursed Child.
Yes. Yes.
Very talented man.
Very talented. Very talented. Speaking of Scorpius Malfoy, we can talk about Ron Weasley.
The classic segue.
So Ron Weasley, Harry's faithful friend and sidekick. Don't let him hear you say that.
No, not too happy.
I would say that Ron's biggest flaw is his temper and his insecurity.
Yeah.
He just acts out. So, Ron is the youngest of six brothers, all of whom seem funnier, smarter, more talented than him. He's the best friend of the most famous person in the wizarding world and the best friend of also the most talented witch in the school.
Yeah, rough time.
It's rough.
And he's ginger.
And he's ginger, which fucking hell, no one believes him for that.
I know, which actually
Believes him for that. No. Oh, that's fantastic.
No, I mean, I guess, Malfoy does say it about...
Does he?
In the first book. Isn't it in the first book or the first, like...
I think he more believes him about his clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, red hair and hand-me-down clothes.
Yeah, that's it.
Must be a Weasley.
Yes,
that's the one.
God, yes,
that's the, I don't know.
So peeping, redhead in there. It high is. School, isn't it?
It's tough.
We can empathise.
But Ron, we're not going to let you off that bloody easily.
No. You must hold this man accountable for many a fuckboy action.
Ron just seems to leave a string of could have been avoided upsets behind him.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
Whether it's Hermione going to the ball with someone else or his little sister getting frisky before he does, he just says these nasty, nasty things to people that he then.
Name and shame. Call them out. Let's hear them.
We're going to hear them. In Luna's words, he can be a bit unkind. I know, we love her.
Luna.
So, his key fuckboy moments. We can't talk about Ron without talking about Ron and Hermione.
No, obviously.
No.
The beating heart
of Harry Potter.
Simply the most shippable couple, right?
Ooh, I don't ship
see,
them.
I ship don't. Harry and this Hermione.
What I wanna hear. Do you?
Me too.
Can I just make a case for Harry and Ginny really quickly?
Okay.
Ginny is the only person who understands what Harry goes through having Voldemort inside of him because she was possessed by Voldemort at 12. Ooh, 11 even.
Yeah.
She's the only person who understands what Harry has.
But again, like this bonding by trauma, is it enough?
I think so.
I think we got a few other bits in common, maybe.
She's also just the coolest person on the planet.
She is great.
She's very cool.
But I do ship Harry and Hermione in a big way.
So Ron and Hermione's first meeting, it's not exactly a meet cute. Ron fails to turn his rat yellow, and Hermione tells him he has dirt on his nose.
Oh, cute.
Turn this stupid fat rat yellow. Sounds like Daisy's Passamello. Turn this stupid fat rat yellow. So fucking good.
It's not a spell, Ron. It's a stupid poem.
Fred and George, love them. We have to talk about Ron's biggest fuckboy moment, which is the Ron-Hermione-Lavender love triangle.
Yes.
1-1.
The one.
Oh my gosh.
She's so good. It's just a game.
She's just absolutely brilliant.
So good.
A true icon.
I love her.
So good.
I just love her. So the whole thing starts again with the Yule Ball. Ron's first fuckboy move.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he treats bloody Padma. But there's also a way that he treats Hermione. So Hermione gets asked to the Yule Ball by
Victor Crumb,
the Quidditch player, the one who everyone wants to go
to. Who looks about 40 years old in the film, might I add.
He does.
Very creepy.
Yeah. Very creepy.
Super creepy vibes.
And also, Ron is completely infatuated. He has
he probably just has a crush
on...
Yeah. Ron, you're bi, we know.
Yeah, I mean, who isn't? But truly, like, it is beyond infatuation. Yes. He is obsessed. With Victor Crumb.
Yeah, Ron's actually compared to the girls who are following Victor Crumb around everywhere as well. And
they're trying to get
his autograph, lipstick and stuff like that, and Ron is there as well.
Yeah.
And this is an interaction that they have. Hermione's been asked by...
Crumb.
She's at the ball. She's having a delightful time. Comes over to Ron and Harry. Victor's gone to get drinks. And she says, "What's up with you?" Ron says, "If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you." Hermione stares at him, and then Harry shrugs. "Ron, what?" "He's from Durmstrang," spat Ron. "He's competing against Harry, against Hogwarts. You're fraternising with the enemy.
Fraternising with the enemy."
So she's then like, "Oh my God, don't be so ridiculous."
Yeah.
And Ron's like, "Oh, where did he ask you? Blah, 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 blah."
Why did he ask you? Because she's drop-dead gorgeous and the smartest woman in the room.
She's exactly that. And then, she says, "No, I wasn't. If you really want to know, he said he'd been coming up to the library every day to try and talk to me, but he hasn't been able to pluck up the courage."
Oh!
So sweet. Crumb. And Ron goes, "Yeah, well, that's his story."
And he's like, he only wants to hang out with you to get to know what Harry's plan for the next...
He says exactly that.
He says, "Obvious, isn't it? He's Carcroft's student. He knows who you hang around with. He's just trying to get closer to Harry, get inside information on him, or get near enough to jinx him."
Yeah.
It is fucking outrageous.
And in the movie, when we watched it the other night, when Hermione's like, "Well, you know what to do next time, don't you?" And he's like, "What? Ask me before someone else does."
Yes.
Not as a last resort.
Yeah.
And she's like,
so
that performance that Emma Watson gives in that moment is so beautiful. So, and we were all crying.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful. We weren't even hungover.
No.
Oh,
were
my
we?
God.
No.
No, we were tired, though. We were tired.
We were tired.
But it
had
was
a big
so...
meal.
Yeah, we had. That was delicious.
No,
that
was real.
But yes.
Great adverts, no digging.
Okay, can I tell you this thing?
Yeah. Please do.
This is why...
Take us on the tangent.
Okay, so I ship Harry and Hermione big time. And it appears, so does J.K. Rowling. So, in an interview, J.K. Rowling said Ron may not have been the most suitable beau for Hermione. She told the magazine, Quarterly Lifestyle magazine, "I wrote the Hermione-Ron relationship as a form of wish fulfillment. That's how it was conceived, really. For reasons that have very little to do with literature and far more to do with me clinging to the plot as I first imagined it, Hermione ended up with Ron. I know, I'm sorry. I can hear the rage and fury it might cause some fans, but if I'm absolutely honest, distance has given me perspective on that. It was a choice I made for very personal reasons, not for reasons of credibility. Am I breaking people's hearts by saying this? I hope not."
I swear I've heard this before, and it was like, she did it because she... was like trying to remedy a real life relationship that she
had. Something like that.
Like in the literature.
Yeah, and it didn't come to that sweet ending. And so she put it in her books instead with Ron and Hermione.
Oh my gosh.
It's so interesting because their relationship is so fraught. They argue, they're
constantly bickering.
Constantly bickering. They are like an old couple.
It's not like a good example of healthy love.
No, it's not. But also, is that just because they're teenagers and they don't know how to do that? One would hope so.
Yeah, one
they
would
get
hope
married
so.
And she fucking becomes a minister of magic.
Exactly,
so.
And he's a delightful
supportive
dad.
Husband.
Yeah, exactly.
They are young.
They are very young.
To feel the cruel sting of
To be young and to feel love's keen sting. We got there.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love that moment.
So beautiful.
It's so good. And that is actually
the one time Michael Gambon is not furiously angry.
Can you put your name in the goblet of fire?
Put your name in the goblet of fire.
So intense. Oh my god. What's the other scene where he's just making it all about him?
When
Harry comes out of when he's like sitting in his chair with his head in his hands, and you're like, oh.
At the end of Goblet
of
Fire.
And then it pulls out, and it's in front of a massive assembly in the Great Hall.
and he's just been sat there like.
Cedric was a good chap.
That's actually a direct quote. Cedric was a good chap, said Dumbledore. Head in hand.
Cedric was killed by Lord Voldemort.
Oh my gosh, so indulgent.
Read now.
Yeah. I once saw Michael Gambon in Soho. And I went up to him, because obviously, who wouldn't? He's fucking Dumbledore. I was like, hey, can I get a photo with you? And he was like, oh, yes, all right, fine.
He was such a dick.
Oh, my. I actually rate it.
Yeah.
I kind of rate
it. Hey, he stays true to form. He's true to character.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's still playing Dumbledore in his mind.
He's method.
Yeah. He's method.
Although Dumbledore is not meant to be that mean.
No, definitely not.
He's cruel, though. Cruel to be kind.
True.
In the book, in that bit where he's like, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? Doesn't it say, he said calmly?
He said calmly. Yeah. He read that and went, I'm going to do
the complete opposite.
Yeah, we're putting it on Instagram because it's my favourite gif in the entire
world. Yes, it's so good.
If I'm having a bad day, I just Google, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?
Perks you right up.
Oh, speaking of Dumbledore's moment where he says, to feel love's keen sting, that bit is about Ron, Hermione and Lavender.
Well, yeah.
As we said, Ron and Hermione's relationship is extremely fraught. And they're arguing constantly. And in the sixth book, there's this moment where Hermione asks Ron to go to the Christmas party with her. And it's like quite a big deal. He's like grumpy about it. It's invite only. Harry and Hermione have invites and Ron doesn't. And he's so salty about it.
Yeah.
And Hermione's like...
Slughorn keeps calling him the wrong name. Oh, it's so funny.
Such a dick.
He's called him Weatherby.
Yes, Weatherby. Nice to see you, Weatherby.
And this is like awkward, beautifully teenage moment where Hermione's like, well, I was actually going to ask you if you wanted to go with me. And Ron's like, oh, were you?
Aww.
And Harry's like, fuck. What do I do?
Shit, it's going to be really awkward with my two friends. Bang, I hope they don't fall out.
Yeah, exactly. And he literally thinks that. He's like, oh, I hope they don't get together and then break up. Well, Harry, we have some news for you. They do argue. So after this, there's this moment where they've been playing Quidditch. Ron's had a really bad time. And they walk into Ginny, who's Ron's younger sister, and Ginny's boyfriend kissing.
Oh, yeah. Dean Thomas.
Fit
in the films.
Very, very fit.
Wow. Yeah, incredible.
I mean, I know he's a child in the films, so obviously when he's older. Don't at me.
Obviously he's a child. We don't mean when he's a child.
Yes, yes.
Obviously.
Actually, I saw him on the tube once.
Oh my God.
What is it? Guys, to let you know, if you're not living in the UK... when you do live in the UK, you will see at least one member of the Harry Potter cast per day.
Yes.
And if not, you will see a contestant from RuPaul's Drag Race UK. It's a very, very small, small place.
It's only 62 million of us.
Very exciting. Mm. He's very tall.
Oh my God, he's so tall.
You know what? You can be a dreadful, boring, ugly bloke, but if you're over 6 foot, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's really bad, but it is true.
I think it's true.
you have higher standards than me,
I'm choking today. The example. No, maybe I don't.
What?
I just thought I could see that you were thinking of someone who was over 6 foot.
I'm just seeing like Hagrid, for example. I wouldn't want to fuck him. Oh, he's definitely over 6 foot.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Okay, yeah. Over 6 foot, under 8 foot.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe even under 7.
He would squish you to a smithereen.
What, Hagrid? Yes.
Smithereens? Yeah.
Oh, lovely Hagrid. His romance.
You do not want to have sex with Hagrid.
You would not want to fuck Hagrid.
No. Maybe. I mean, you don't know.
Hannah, he would split you in two.
Maybe that's why people would be.
Maybe that's what you want.
Oh my God. Speaking of Hagrid, Madame Maxine's a fuck girl.
Yeah, she totally is.
She is so not into the fact that she's half giant.
Yeah,
she can't handle it.
She cannot.
And she's really mean to him. Oh my God, I totally forgot about that. That's another episode. The minor characters in Harry Potter that are fuckboys.
Anyway.
Which, speaking of, we are digressing like nobody's business, which is what a podcast is.
Yes, true.
So, Ron and Harry, they walk in on Ginny snogging Dean. I love the word snogging. Anyway, back to the story. And they basically have this massive argument. Ginny is like, Ron, Hermione's kissed Victor Crumb 2 years ago. Harry's kissed Cho. Maybe you wouldn't be so annoyed about it if you had a bit of snogging done yourself.
Oh, savage.
Ron loses the plot and they're walking, him and Harry are like walking back really
because he's a horny virgin.
Grumpily.
Yeah, that will do it.
And Ron turns to her and he's like, do you really think she did kiss Victor Crumb?
Oh, no, not sweet.
it does make me go on.
Wait. He then doesn't speak to Hermione for weeks. Just after she's asked him to the party, which is a fucking big deal when you're 16
because
years old.
Because she kissed someone else.
Because she kissed someone
because
else
she had
2 years ago.
To kiss someone else.
He doesn't speak to her for weeks. Then, after the Quidditch Cup, they have another massive argument. She comes back into the Gryffindor common room and he's in a chair and Ginny puts it very, very eloquently. Looks like he's eating her face and he's entwined with Lavender Brown on the sofa getting with her.
Oh,
in front of Hermione.
Eating her face.
Eating her face.
That is so grim.
That's so disgusting.
Do you remember when you first started snogging? Breakfast, lunch and dinner? If you don't know, then you don't know.
Don't Google it.
Do not Google it. Do you remember when you first started snogging in like year 7, year 8, and it was like they were eating your face?
Yeah.
It was like...
Disgusting.
I remember bumping teeth with the first person I kissed.
Do you remember those horror stories where you two people with braces would kiss and they get locked in?
Do you think that doesn't ever actually happen?
Did that not happen?
No.
That was a great rumour though.
Yeah.
And sometimes people would have like cuts on their lips from like the braces cutting.
Braces. Yeah.
Oh, is that a creepypasta?
Oh, to be young and to feel love's keen sting.
I'm going back. We're back in.
We're back in the room.
Back in the room.
So Ginny is like, look at him, he's such a fucking hypocrite. Then Harry sees Hermione running out of the common room. He goes and she's upset. She's like, no, no, I don't care.
In the film, is that the bit with the birds?
It's the bit with the birds and the music's like, dun, dun. And it's all really sad.
Yeah. Oh, it's sad,
she's
that
like,
bit.
A bug now! And the birds all fly at him. And he's like...
Harry's a great friend in that moment.
Harry's a really good friend.
Really good friend. Is the moment where I'm like, kiss.
See, that's
right?
Where I'm like, you guys are
and
so
in the Deathly
evil.
Hallows when Ron fucks off and is all grumpy
yeah,
and he leaves
know,
them
and
in
dance.
The tent and then they
and
dance
like,
to Nick Cave
kiss.
And there's
I love that,
that moment where Hermione looks at Harry and you're like, go on, just kiss him.
I know.
But she can't because she loves Ron.
She loves Ron.
And Harry's a bit like, oh, I could and I couldn't, but I'm not going to because I don't want to ruin our friendship.
I know.
And it's just so beautiful.
It is so
Ron
beautiful.
Ron is a very fortunate
I love that bit in the film, actually.
I love it.
That's a
it's a powerful
some people
moment.
Hate it.
No.
Yeah, some people hate it.
No.
What then you and you get together? People hate it.
People hate that scene. They're like, that scene's fucking stupid. And I'm like, that scene makes me cry.
Oh, it's beautiful. And it's so kind of awkward. Like, Harry's dancing is so sweet and
isn't
unsure
it?
And uncertain. And
oh, I just love it.
It's so
that,
lovely.
Like, moment of comfort.
Yeah.
Teenagedom.
Oh, it's so beautiful. So, Ron and Lavender are now dating.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal at 16.
Mm-hmm.
Ron then starts to become less and less infatuated with said sweet girl, Lavender, and doesn't know what to do with it. At Christmas, mm-hmm. she gets him a necklace. I think it says My One One or something.
Yes.
He won't wear it. He
comes I don't
back.
Blame him for that, actually.
Yeah.
I don't hold it against him.
I don't
him.
Hold it against him.
No. My One One, not...
No. No. A bit embarrassing.
Yeah.
A little bit embarrassing.
A little bit.
But he comes back after Christmas and he's had some snogging. He's had his
He's
like
dipped his wick.
Wheels. He's dipped his wick. And he literally has dipped his wick, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Do you think?
He's wagged his wand.
Yeah. Fucking 100%. And then he starts to get into this situation where he's trying to be friends with Hermione again. And he doesn't know how to end things with Lavender. Lucky for him, though, he gets poisoned.
Yes, he does.
Oh, and thank God for
the bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Saves his life.
Again, stomach. Harry, great friend.
Great friend.
Harry, fucking hell, Harry.
Yeah, saves the day.
Honestly, always on point.
Mm-hmm.
Always on form. After he's poisoned, him and Hermione obviously make up. And then Ron starts to
do some slightly questionable things to Lavender. Every time she comes to visit him in the hospital, he pretends to be asleep.
I've definitely done that before.
He pretends to be asleep.
When someone, like, wants to fuck you and you're
yeah,
like...
Yeah, and you pretend to be asleep. So hard to think, oh, there's a word for that. I think it's no.
Yeah.
Literally. Yes, famously. That is another level of ghosting.
Yes, he pretends to be asleep and Harry says, why don't you just break up with her? If you don't want to go out with her anymore, just tell her.
Wise suggestion.
And Ron says, yeah, but it's not that easy, is it?
Open communication.
It's literally just say, I don't want to be with you anymore.
It's literally that easy. Literally that easy.
It's not me. It's not you. It's me. It's not me. It's you.
It's not me. It's me.
That's how I break up with people. It's not me. It's you. You suck and you're dumped.
100% you.
Goodbye.
Suck.
Get in the bin.
I'm going to skip.
Skip. Trying to make Skip happen. No, I actually love Skip.
I love Skip.
Thanks, guys.
Love you.
I really rate that you're really trying to make it happen. So.
Skip. Every single time.
Ron can also get in the skip because he tries to ghost Lavender.
You can't do that when you're
He's just an insecure sod.
They live in the same tower. You can't ghost someone you live with.
Unless you turn into Nearly Headless Nick, you cannot. And even then people can see you, Ron.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he literally comes out of the hospital and then it's described as this. Lavender Brown was standing at the foot of the marble staircase looking thunderous. Yes.
Don't blame her.
Of course she fucking is.
Yeah.
And then obviously she's going to look really, really grumpy. Ron looks sulky and annoyed when he appeared. Ron, what are you sulking about? And then this is a genuine conversation. So Hermione fixes Ron's homework and he goes, I love you, Hermione.
Ooh.
I know. Hermione says, quite naughtily, don't let Lavender hear you say that.
Oh, I love
it. I won't,
I
said Ron into his hands. Or maybe I won't.
Oh.
I wank.
I won't.
I wank.
Diction on that one. I wank. Then they fuck. No, I won't, says Ron into his hands. Or maybe I will. Then she'll ditch me. Harry, why don't you ditch her if you want to finish it? Ron says, you haven't ever chucked anyone, have you?
Chucked?
Oh, chucked. No.
You and Cho sort of fell apart, yeah, said Harry. Then this ultimate line from Ron. Wish that would happen with me and Lavender.
That is so...
This line is actually unbelievable. The more I hint I want to finish it, the tighter she holds on. It's like going out with the giant squid.
That is outrageous!
It's outrageous.
Right.
Giant squid! Utterly outrageous. Then, when they finally break up... Harry asks Ron why Lavender looks so upset, and Ron says, we split up. Last night, when she saw me coming out of the dormitory with Hermione, obviously she couldn't see you, so she thought it had just been the two of us. Ah, Harry said, well, you don't mind it's over, do you? No, Ron admitted. It was pretty bad while she was yelling, but at least I didn't have to finish it.
Oh, do you know what? That is such a trope.
Oh,
this is such a trope that happens when you're young, where people won't want to dump someone because they don't want to look like a bad person.
Yeah.
So they just start to treat them
like
trash.
Like shit.
Until the other person breaks and has to break up with them.
It's so fucked up. But it's so manipulative.
Of course, as well. That makes
it's
them
so
like,
cowardly.
Yes. And Hermione, that's her line, coward.
Oh. Coward.
But she looks amused. Hermione.
It's because she wants the D.
She does want the D.
She wants the cowardly D.
That cowardly D.
Cowardly D. So my big question, does Ron redeem himself? Does he?
I mean, he's a teenager.
He is a teenager.
He is bad for a while, though.
He's bad.
He is.
He does it from 40. He does it at 14. He does it at 15. And he's still doing it at 16. And he still leaves at 17.
Yeah, he's a fuckboy.
But I would argue that he has a big moment in the seventh book, which is when he destroys the Horcrux.
Yeah.
And he does get his act together.
He learns his lesson, doesn't he?
He does.
He knows that he can't be alone. He needs friends.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has to talk to them about it. And jealousy gets you nowhere.
Yeah. And it is a bit shit to live in the shadow of like two incredibly talented and charismatic and all the et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you have to find your power and your beauty and then shine that throughout the world.
And he has that.
Does.
Darling, can we get that on a t-shirt?
Yes.
Can I get that
fucking care?
Yeah, on a voice note, just replay it.
That's my morning alarm.
Yes.
Please. I don't know where that came from.
So are we agreed Ron does redeem himself?
Yeah, I mean Ron will always and forever have a soft spot in my
heart. He's a ginger.
We're lying. And yes, quite hot.
Fit.
Yeah, when he's wearing those like vest tops and he's got his pale, muscly arms out. I used to have a real thing for gingers when I was a teenager.
Fingers, fit gingers.
Fingers, yeah. I used to follow them.
Do you know what? It's because I had red hair growing up. My hair is actually nowhere near as red as it was when I was younger.
Is it like strawberry blonde?
It was strawberry blonde, yeah. And it kind of went redder when I went through puberty. Oh, I think that just kind of,
cool.
Yeah, and then it just faded again. But anyway, regardless, I remember
like a mood
once,
ring.
Yes, exactly. How are my hormones doing? How red is my hair? I just remember someone once calling me a finger, a fit ginger. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know how to feel about that.
I was really into fingers. When Daisy Lowe went out, do you remember Daisy Lowe, that model?
Guys, no one ever called me a finger.
You are a finger.
You are full on finger.
Yeah, but no one ever called me it.
Well, I'm calling you it now, you little finger.
I once followed a finger around an art gallery because I fancied him so much.
Oh.
See, I've never fancied a ginger because it's internalised loathing.
Mm. Oh. No, but then I realised my dad was a ginger. And then I was like, fuck.
Daddy issues.
I've got to stop this. I've got to push this down.
So redeemed.
Redeemed. Yeah.
Great.
Not as redeemed as Harry, but he is redeemed.
Good.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the worstest of them all?
It's Voldemort.
Yes. We are talking about Tom Riddle, a.k.a. Lord Voldemort, a.k.a. Moldy Voldy, a.k.a. He Who Must Not Be Named. We'll also answer to You Know Who. Find him at The Dark Lord on Instagram, at Muggle Slayer. Doesn't currently have TikTok. This dude is an unbelievable fuckboy. Guess Bellatrix pregnant in the last book?
How? If I pull up the cloak, there is just a Kevin Doll mound.
Kevin Doll mound. Like a Barbie and Ken.
I was like, who's Kevin?
Kev,
who are you?
Kev. Big Kev.
A Ken Barbie doll mound.
Kevin.
There is zero genitalia.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre.
What does Voldemort's dick look like?
I bet he wanks into his hand and then just like...
I feel like it looks like a very pale asparagus.
A tiny snake. No hair.
Like,
no
you know
pubes.
There's like alopecia... No, not alopecia.
Alopecia?
No, albino snakes. Albino snakes.
Oh, they're too
really
beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
No, whatever. I think it's more like a white asparagus.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And he doesn't have any balls.
Oh my God, that's disgusting.
Oh,
no. Oh, God.
They're inside.
Yeah, can we just tucked up right up there.
Can we just talk about what a spiritual fuckboy Voldemort is?
Such a spiritual fuckboy.
Bellatrix like slathers at the mouth when he's talking.
Slathers?
Is that the word?
Yeah.
Salivates.
You can say slathers, like slathering.
Slathering. I think it's a word, like dog like, slather.
Oh, God, delete that.
I read that in Game of Thrones. ASMR.
Okay.
I read it in Game of Thrones the other day. Ghost was slathering.
Oh, really? I'm so sorry.
I had to Google it. I really had to Google it because I was like, George R. R. Martin, that's not a fucking word.
You made that up, my friend.
It's the same.
She is, though. She's literally dribbling out. That's another word. She is dribbling over him. I don't know how he gets her pregnant.
Obviously, swish and flick.
Catherine,
did we need to have a talk?
Did your mummy not have this talk with
you? Yes.
Birds and the bees.
He then locks her in Malfoy Manor when she must be pregnant at this time. All of this, he does. Well, I swear her husband is like at the table.
Wait, Bellatrix has a husband?
Yes. Lestrange.
Oh my God, Lestrange. What the fuck, I love it.
Lestrange.
Because she is a black. She's Bellatrix Black and she marries Lestrange.
Yeah, but is he alive and kicking?
I don't know. It's so unclear in the book.
No, I feel like she killed him so she could be with Voldemort.
Mm. With Moldy Voldy.
Yeah.
I love calling him Moldy Voldy so much. I'm deeply upset that Harry, Ron and Hermione don't just call him Moldy Voldy.
It really would just like, that sort of level of lowbrow humour really would just...
Just totally undercut
just
it.
Just undercut the whole thing.
Moldy Voldster.
And that is such a Ron thing to say.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Moldy Vold. So yeah, that's...
So he's locked up his pregnant lover...
Yeah, he literally locks her up, takes the piss out of her in front of all of their pals.
That's so rude.
Is generally, like, really abusive.
Yeah.
Famously.
Totally, yeah, famously.
Famously a mass murderer.
I don't know whether this is the right context to say it, but I'm pretty sure he honey traps her into being a murderous, torturing nut job.
Yeah, I'm sure she wasn't always that way. Well, maybe she was.
Who knows?
I feel like she was.
So he is a fuckboy.
He's a real...
Oh, yeah.
But no, also, like...
And as Tom Riddle... Slughorn fancies him, which is really rogue of Slughorn, because he's a student.
Yeah, not on.
But, like, totally takes, uses and abuses Slughorn's
What, Tom Riddle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, he is a murderer. He's not the... He's
spiritual
not the
fuckboy.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the person we should be looking to for how to treat people.
No.
But, yeah, no, just bad bloke, I think. We can definitely chuck him in the skip.
Yeah, no, he's the ultimate fuckboy.
He's the ultimate fuckboy.
But again... In the skip.
Does he redeem himself? It's a no.
No, he does not redeem himself.
No.
Absolutely no way in hell.
Do you reckon he's split his soul more times than he's given women orgasms?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Him and Henry VIII have that in common.
He's got such asexual vibes.
Yeah.
No, I think he's got like dark, twisted sexual
really?
Vibes.
Really? Like when he's tied up the Muggle studies teacher. He does that with Bellatrix.
Yeah.
Naughty.
Mm. Or he likes being tied up because, like, 24/7 he's in charge.
Yes!
And then in the bedroom, he likes to be submissive.
Oh my God, that's Lord Voldemort's a secret sub.
That's such Moldy-Voldy energy.
That is so
Moldy-Voldy energy.
True.
Speaking of dark wizards.
Oh, yeah.
Give us the darkest.
Do we not think Umbridge is a bit of a fuck girl?
I mean.
Oh my God. So I thought.
This take is the hottest take I've ever heard in my entire life.
I really thought that Umbridge and Filch was a thing. Mm. And I think I kind of got that from, like, they just have a shared language where torture is their turn on, right?
Yeah. Mm.
They love a bit of torture, especially students. So I had a little Google to see if there was anything online about their relationship, because in my mind it was like a thing, but turns out it's really not. But then I stumbled across...
The deep, dark depths of the internet.
The dark web. And I found a story written by a fan in which Umbridge and Filch get it on.
They burn.
Yes, they do.
So give us a dramatic reading.
I fucking am, Kath.
Oh, my God. I'm thinking we're lacking in dramatic readings here.
So this is from modest_K fanfiction. Her fan fiction from Archive of Our Own, which is a website where people basically write fan fiction, usually like erotic fan fiction about characters.
I've been on that site.
Modest_K, I did edit your story a little bit just because it was quite long. It was beautifully written, but for the sake of the podcast, I've just edited it somewhat. But big shout out to you because this is wonderful. So are you ready, girls?
I am. I'm born ready.
Okay.
Flowers for my flower.
Thank you, Argus, she whispered, taking the bouquet and rubbing the delicate petals between her thumb and pointer finger. These are beautiful.
Just like you.
Dolores could feel the heat flood to her cheeks at his compliment.
Oh, kegels.
Kegels. When Dolores looked at Argus, she saw a partner in creating order in the chaos. He understood what she was trying to build, and his unwavering commitment to rules was matched only by her own. He was even a fellow cat lover. Though they couldn't publicly be together, his temptation was too great. She could ignore his squib status as long as they kept things a secret.
Did you have a good day?
Argus whispered in her ear, his breath hot on her neck as he wrapped his arms around from behind.
Oh, God.
I caught some students canoodling in a classroom. Absolutely disgraceful. They were breaking dozens of our decrees.
Little miscreants,
he spat, turning her around. His pale eyes twinkled with excitement.
Oh my gosh.
What did you do to them?
Oh.
The quill, of course, Dolores said in a low voice, watching how a smile played on his thin lips.
Ew, oh my God, his little thin lips.
That's not hot.
Tell me about it, he murmured. You're so beautiful when you talk about punishing students.
Oh my God.
As she told him of her busy afternoon, he deposited kisses along her jaw and down her neck. Wrapped up in his embrace, all Dolores could hear was, beautiful. He said the word with each kiss he pressed to her wrinkling flesh. The candlelight of her quarters dancing across his pasty face, his knobbly hands whispered, beautiful, 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 as they tangled into her hair. She was meant to hate him for his lack of magical abilities. It was a rule, an order, a tradition. But as her lips met his, Dolores realised that occasionally, she liked breaking the rules.
Oh, my God. I love this forbidden love for her.
Forbidden love.
Across the castle, Sybil Trelawney awoke with a start, covered in a cold sweat. She shivered. The image of Filch and Umbridge wrapped up in each other under bedsheets burned into her brain.
Stop!
Oh, oh, that is a bad dream, isn't it?
Awful. I have to stop drinking that psychic tea before bed. She muttered to herself, pushing away the tendrils matted to her forehead in sleep. These nightmares are getting out of control.
Oh my gosh.
She clung to the hope that these were just nightmares, rather than psychic dreams about Dolores Umbridge and Argus Filch, because her brain could not handle it as a horrible reality.
Oh my god.
Big snap.
Thank you, Modest underscore K for that.
Oh. Modest underscore K, if you're listening to this, please write in.
And that was the tame one, because there were some other ones that were pure filth. And I was like, this is actually
filth
upsetting.
Featuring filch.
Exactly.
Filch is filth.
I can't get filthy too filch. Filthy with Harry Potter because no. It is, as we said, our safe space.
Yeah, see, like I could probably get filthy with
it. Really? Yeah.
Speaking of filters, Phil, this is actually quite a good one. Shag, marry, avoid.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So Shag, marry, avoid. Filch, Umbridge, Voldemort.
Oh, God, that's
a horrible one.
Fact.
I just thought of it. Okay.
I'd probably shag Voldemort.
Be so asexual, as you said. Well, he's getting Bellatrix pregnant. Who am I to say what his sexuality is?
He's got an asparagus stick. And
asparagus stick.
Filch is manipulatable.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere near Filch.
I'd kill Umbridge, though. I hate that woman with a mad passion.
No, you're right. She'd drive you insane.
She'd drive you bonkers. But I could deal with the cat. I'd like the...
I'd marry Filch. I'd be sexless, yeah. Sexless marriage, but,
yeah.
You know.
Okay, yeah. He could do, like, the cleaning.
He'd keep things clean.
I'm a muggle, yeah. So it's just, like, not a
also,
problem.
Also, I love Mrs. Yeah. Norris.
Yeah, love yeah. Mrs. Norris.
Marry him just yeah. For Mrs. Norris.
I'm going to shag Voldy, kill Umbridge.
I think I would Filch. I would kill Voldemort because, yeah, as we said famously, yeah, very, very, so very bad bloke.
Yeah, he's a bad bloke.
I'm going to kill him and then put him in the skip.
Would you rather?
Wingardium Leviosa to the
skip.
Accio skip. Put him in there.
Avada Kedavra. Yeah, that's how it's done.
I'd Avada Kedavra Dolores.
Yeah.
I'd get frisky with Voldemort's wand, and I'd
the Elder Wand.
I'd marry.
You do a what's it called? A forever
binding
unbreakable bond
with Filch.
Fuck,
I would not want to do that with Filch.
Vile. Harry Ron Hermione.
Harry Ron Hermione.
Marry Hermione.
Shag Harry. Maybe kill Ron. Maybe Ron. Maybe Ron Shag.
Maybe I'd marry Harry.
Oh, I think Hermione would actually ag me out.
Harry in the books. I would marry Harry in the books.
Yeah.
I would bang Hermione.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
You really fancy Hermione.
I really fancy Hermione.
Yeah. No, I would marry Hermione. She's got... Is she a Virgo? What's she?
She's definitely a
Virgo. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Me and her would be very compatible.
Harry's a Leo.
Yeah, see, I'm not a huge fan of Leos, so maybe I have to kill him.
Yeah, see, I rate Leos.
Guys, what house are you all in?
This is another question. I think I'm Gryffindor. Gryffindor/Hufflepuff.
But when you did the test...
So I always get Slytherin or Gryffindor.
Okay, so I've discovered this word, chuggy. Have you heard of this?
No.
A chuggy is like Gen Z's version of like their idea of us. We're chuggy, right?
Wait, what? That's so rude.
So you're chuggy if like you still have a side part and you wear Uggs, you still drink Starbucks and you do like loads of Harry Potter quizzes.
Okay, I have a side part. This actually happened. I saw something being like, you're old if you wear, like, I can't remember what it was. If you, like, make jokes about going on TikTok and you have a side parting.
Yeah.
And I do both of those.
That's you're a chuggy. We're all chuggies. Okay, to be fair, I don't wear Uggs.
I do. No.
I don't drink Starbucks.
Occasionally, I have, like, a trip down memory lane to Starbucks and I get a coffee frappuccino.
I've not been to Starbucks since I was, like, 7. Okay, maybe 13.
And I definitely do lots of Harry Potter quizzes.
I do a fuck ton of Harry Potter quizzes. I wear Uggs. I'm actually more of a baby boomer than a chuggy because I wear flip-flop Uggs.
Yeah, which is fucked up.
But my mum bought them for me. Like, what are you going
to
do?
And what you can't argue with that.
They're so easy to slip on.
This is true.
Okay, I'll let it slide.
I think I'm Gryffindor.
You're such a fucking Gryffindor.
I'm Hufflepuff.
Really?
There's all that Hufflepuff puffing you've been doing.
You've got a Slytherin aesthetic, though.
Yeah, very Slytherin aesthetic.
Thank you.
Well done,
good job, Catherine.
You took it to a whole new level with that.
Your knowledge is astounding.
It's the true love of my life.
So impressive.
How many times do you think you've read the books?
30.
Wow. Fuck me. Well, it has all been worth it for this time.
It's actually a bit of a sick joke.
Nailed
but
it.
But that's including listening to it.
You were born for this.
I listen to them every night before bed.
Very impressive.
Very
thank impressive. Thank you very much for guiding us through.
Thank you for that erotic novel.
My pleasure.
The Fuckboys of Harry Potter. You took us through our true
Choogie childhoods.
Our Choogie childhoods.
Oh, I love it.
For the other Choogies out there, we're going to...
We love you. We appreciate you. We respect
do.
You.
We really do.
And if you made it to here, well done.
Yeah.
Well done. We'll put some Harry Potter themed quizzes on the Instagram, our website, stuff like that. Don't worry, just get incredibly
choogy with it.
Yeah.
Get our rugs out.
Whether you're a Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, Gryffindor, or Slytherin, you can help us by rating us and subscribing to the F-Boy Podcast.
You can find even more magic on our socials at F-Boy Podcast, where you can send us your very own fuckboy stories.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audioboom. We hope you can join us next week when we're taking a trip across the pond along to sunny California,
where we'll be looking at some true crime fuckboyery.
So, Dirty John, watch out.
We're coming for you.